To the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. Hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the information that you probably won't get on any, in fact, let me scratch that, you definitely won't get on any other radio show in New Zealand. And thank you very much also to Rush FM in Hamilton for rebroadcasting our show because, for F's sake, it's just friggin' awesome of you guys. Welcome back. We have a very special guest on the line for you today, ladies and gentlemen. These days, in my opinion, youth seem to be getting left out of the political process and just talking about, you know, random stuff, you know, partying, getting drunk, stuff like that, you know, student issues. But we have on the line New Zealand's youngest MP. His name is Gareth Hughes from the Green Party, and he joins us now live from Wellington. Gareth, are you there?
I am. Kia ora.
Kia ora, mate. How are you going today?
Oh, great. Beautiful day in Wellington.
Well, must be a rarity. I was going to ask you, I mean, we've got just a short segment here. I was wondering if you might sort of introduce yourself and explain how you got into be elected as the youngest Member of Parliament.
Yeah, cool. Well, I still pinch myself some days that I'm actually in that debating chamber as well. I've been an activist. That's been my background. I used to work for Greenpeace and different environmental groups and ended up getting involved with the Green Party politically and was on the list and just missed out at the last election. But when Jeanette Fitzsimons retired about 10 months ago, I followed her on the list. So that's how I made it into Parliament. All of our Green MPs are list MPs, and that's why at election time it's so important. Well, the only vote that really matters is the party vote.
Well, that's the interesting thing about our political system against, say, that of our counterparts in the United States, where there's not just two parties, there's a whole bunch of different ones. So, you know, at the very least, you do get some sort of differences locked up within Parliament itself, a lot of variation by comparison, at least. You know, but some people are saying that the parties are sort of becoming a bit more centrist of late, and they're all sort of... I don't know. They're all paddling in the same canoe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I've just been in the States recently, and people were kind of amazed when I said I was a Green MP that we even had Greens in our Parliament. You know, it was only last year that the UK got its first Green in Parliament. Australia's only had their first Green in their Parliament in last year's election. So it's quite rare, and it's because we've got this fair proportional electoral system, MMP, that we can. Hey, I'm not sure whether Parliament or politics in New Zealand is becoming more mainstream. I think definitely from the left, for the National Party, and from the right, the Labour Party, was the other way around, but they're both pretty right-wing, to be honest. I mean, I challenge that.
And we will continue this just after the break. Our very special guest from the Green Party in Wellington is Gareth Hughes, ladies and gentlemen. You can check him up on Facebook. We'll be right back in just a few moments.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. Yeah, but I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know? Flow like this, like this, like this. Let's do it.
How many dudes you know wrote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this?
Not many, if any. Not many, if any.
How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinny Eastwood Show.com, proudly broadcasting on Rush 89 FM in Hamilton in joint collaboration with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Our very special guest joining us for this hour as our part of our Kiwi Collaborator segment is Gareth Hughes, the youngest MP in Parliament. Gareth, welcome back.
Kia ora.
All right. Hey, now, I wanted to talk about this. Now, Jeanette Fitzsimons leaving the Green Party, I mean, how did that all come about? She'd been in activism and politics for a very, very long time, and what was her project going to be after leaving the Parliament? Was it just enjoying a nice retirement?
Oh, I wish, because she's got such a beautiful piece of land up in the Coromandel. I wish she'd spent more time, but since she's left Parliament, she's still been mad busy. Her big project is trying to stop the lignite mining on the South Island down near Invercargill. We've got fantastic amounts of lignite coal. It's the dirtiest, least energy-containing coal out there. And Solid Energy, the government department, wants to turn it into fertilisers, wants to turn it into diesel. So she wants to stop that, because what she says is we need to keep coal in the hole to avert climate change.
Well, like we're kind of climate deniers on this show, so we do have robust debates on this topic fairly often. And a friend of mine, he works for Greenpeace, and one thing that he's noticed is that Greenpeace has sort of become not about any local issues anymore. He's been a member for a long time, and it used to be Hamilton Greenpeace, and they had Hamilton projects, things like that, but now it's being amalgamated into sort of the global Greenpeace movement, and now it's only about climate change, and it's only about depletion of the oceans. There's no local focus anymore. What do you think about that?
Well, that's Greenpeace's decision, and I think we're blessed in New Zealand and around the world with a real diversity and a real spectrum of environmental groups, and I think it's quite good, actually, to have local groups that aren't run out of overseas country like Greenpeace, and you have those big international NGOs to really campaign at the international level. So I think if we only had one environmental group and they weren't working locally, that would be bad, but the fact is we've got tons, and it's good that we've got the big groups and the small groups. I believe in climate change. I look at the science. I think it's happening. I'm really worried about it for the future of my kids. So I think it's good that you do have those international groups, because ultimately the solution is going to be an international one.
And in terms of a debate on climate change, I mean, one thing that we notice very much on this show is that they're basically any sort of debate that tries to be gotten into, people are demonized as working for the oil companies or being conspiracy theorists or things like this. And we believe that not having debate or walking away from it is extremely unhealthy for a free society.
Oh, well, I agree with you, and that's something I never do. I mean, I like to have my arguments based on the facts, based on the science, and when it comes to climate change, I really feel comfortable those are on the side of anthropogenic climate change.
Okay. Yeah, Gareth, it's Will here. Yeah, I'm Vinny's co-host. I mean, we do have this debate quite often, and it often gets mischaracterized as we don't care for the environment, when nothing could be further from the truth. As you know, I see your favourite animal there's a tuatara. I actually have a dock permit to keep absolutely protected species. Got a couple of Auckland greens and Northland green geckos and stuff. But you know, on the subject of climate change, I think it's been used, even if the science is on your side of the debate, I think it's been used as a grab. Do you not see that? As a political grab for taxation, firstly, for a private bank consortium.
I think that's farther from the truth as it could be. I mean, in New Zealand, we've got a weak as emissions trading scheme, which is essentially just a wealth transfer from taxpayers to the rich companies, often our biggest polluters, like Solid Energy, like Fonterra.
Does that money go specifically?
Well, it's an interesting question, because it is quite a big money go-round, but ultimately, New Zealand, because our emissions have increased so much, has to purchase these offshore carbon credits. with the emissions trading scheme, the money, essentially half the cost of those credits, are being subsidised to our polluters in New Zealand. So, you know, it's so not a tax grab by the government to the people. In fact, what we've got is a wealth transfer from the government to some of our biggest corporates.
If we're buying these carbon credits, who is our country buying them off?
Actually, no one. There's been a few small-scale transactions, but the Kyoto period doesn't actually finish until 2012. So, at the moment, it's still theoretical. Some companies use clean development mechanisms, which are going to developing nations.
Yeah, this is our whole point. It's been bought. These credits have been bought off a private bank consortium.
I mean, I imagine a lot of your concerns about carbon trading myself, and I believe it's actually an excuse for not actually acting. But I don't think the fact that we've got carbon trading or there's been some bad practices in any cases reduces the evidence for human-induced climate change.
Humans' contribution to CO2 as a percentage of total CO2 in the atmosphere, what do you see the figure as?
What was that question again, I'm sorry?
The human component of CO2 that we contribute to the atmosphere as humans on a global scale per annum in relation to evaporation from the ocean or decaying of flora and fauna. I mean, what do you see the amount that humans contribute to that total?
Well, I know we're changing the component of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, that proportion. You know, we're almost at 400 parts per million. Scientists like James Hansen say we should be at 350 parts per million, which is quite a bit of a sequestration we need to encourage. But the fact is, guys, I mean, I don't want to get into a debate about climate change. I'm comfortable with the science, as the New Zealand government is, the vast bulk of world governments are, and I'm trying my best in Parliament to reduce those emissions because I care about my kids' future.
Well, I do too. I mean, I do too. I think that banks, Thomas Jefferson said, banks are more dangerous than standing armies, and I think they're certainly more dangerous than this climate change threat because it's that there's a lot of scientists. Actually, the majority of scientists globally now are not on the side of the IPCC, and so I think.
Really, that's news to me. That's news to me.
Well, CO2 only makes up 0.038% of the atmosphere, and so the majority of greenhouse gas, over 99%, is water vapor. And then of that 0.038%, man contributes about 3%, like 6.6 gigatons compared to over 150 gigatons of CO2 from the oceans. The evaporation from the oceans is largely driven by the sun, and so therefore slight changes in solar activity, as have been analogued by NASA, would account for more variation in CO2 evaporation from the ocean than man existing or not. Like there's a huge factor there that comes from oceans and decaying flora, and CO2 is a building block of life. Don't you think it's... what do you think of Barack Obama calling it a toxic poison when it's one part of the, you know, oxygen, air, water, light, and CO2 are the four essential building blocks of life on this planet?
Hey, well, like I said, I don't really want to get into a debate on the science of climate change. I'm going to have to shoot off in a minute. Is there anything else you want to chat about?
We'd also like to talk about other environmental issues, like, for example, pollution in the general environment, particularly in regards to industrial wastes. One thing that I'm really particularly concerned about is fluoride in the water supply. Big industrial waste, it's classified as toxic waste by the EPA in the United States, and we put it in our water because it's good for our teeth. I'd like to know your perspective on that.
I don't actually have a big perspective. I haven't really looked at the facts on it. I know we've got a big debate happening within our party at the moment. Some people on one side of the debate say we need it for our dental protection, and other people, you know, sort of outline the potential risks. So I haven't made up my mind what I think about fluoride yet.
It comes from the smelting industry, and it's not actually allowed to be dumped into the to the oceans, and so instead it's been added to water supplies, and of course it finds its way into our oceans anyway.
Yeah, I know, it's mad.
I mean, I think the average European, they did a study and found there's 10,000 different chemical compounds within them, because there's so many of these industrial chemicals literally just being put into our environment. But I get what you're saying about fluoride. We're actually putting it into the human food chains.
Yeah. And not to mention, then it makes its way back into the environment after it goes down the drain anyway. So it's like it's almost as if we're paying companies to take their toxic waste and dump it for them. You know, it seems really mad to me. And also the statistics for the arguments for fluoridation don't stack up either. Fluoridation, for example, in the European Union is illegal. And they have similar, if not virtually, there's no discernible difference between dental quality in the EU as the United States, where approximately, what was it, 64% of municipalities are fluoridated, and there's no discernible difference.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, and these are the things that are very much kept out of these debates. I mean, I asked, what was his name? You know, the health minister for national, I forget his name, Tony...
Tony Ryle?
Yeah. I asked him why they're putting fluoride into our water, because fluoride is the main binding agent in two things, Prozac and 1080.
Right, wow.
So I said, why are you putting this in our water supply? And he says, well, I wasn't aware of that. And I say, well, now that you are aware that you're dumping Prozac and rat poison into our water supplies, are you going to do anything about it? I sent him a document written by the main dental advocate in New Zealand about this, about water fluoridation, who recused himself and said, I was basically paid to lie to the New Zealand public to tell them that fluoride was good for them. And then he mapped out all in detail all these lies he told and how dangerous it really is. It causes a whole bunch of bone cancers. It reduces the IQ. There's a whole myriad of different implications. And the problem with it is, if any political person who really loved their country and was extremely strong enough to stand up and really talk about the facts on this issue, they would be demonized, and they would probably wind up losing their careers, as this man did. And I asked the minister, it would take somebody who's really patriotic, who loves his country and loves his people, to do this. So he passed it on to the Assistant Minister of Health, Peter Dunn.
Hey, guys, so I'd love to chat about this further. I thought we were just doing a short interview, but I need to shoot off. But I'd love to chat again when I've got a bit more time. So, wicked. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks very
okay.
much.
Okay. Cheers, Gareth.
Gareth Hughes, ladies and gentlemen, from the Green Party in New Zealand. Thanks for coming on with us, mate. All right.
Okay, that was interesting, wasn't it? You bring up climate change, and you know we've got to go. Sorry, I didn't come here for a debate.
Oh no! He did in fact have to leave in general. But
no, it's just you could see that there was no counter to any sort of argument that I put forth. It's just I'm comfortable. It's like I could be comfortable swimming in crap too. it really gets me though when MPs can't answer questions of the citizens they're supposedly serving. Mm. So here I am, a citizen, you know, and we just get told, "Well, I didn't come here for debate, and I'm comfortable." Yeah, well, the audience needs to be comfortable with things we're paying for here. 3 cents a litre on gas. We need to be comfortable. We need to be more than comfortable.
I'm sort of confused here, though, Will, because didn't he say he's happy to debate the facts about climate change at the start of the interview?
He did, but then he didn't want to. And it wasn't due to time. It's just they couldn't even just answer a simple one line there about man-made contribution. Well, I'm not letting these people off the hook, Vinny. I mean, we can make excuses for them another time, another day, and it'd be good to have Gareth back on, really, because I think he means well. I think he's a good guy.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that he was openly willing to listen about the fluoride issue, you know, gives me a lot of faith, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's only because it's an environmental issue, I suppose. But then who cares if it goes into the skeletal systems of children, you know. That doesn't really matter to them, does it?
But, Well, let's hope he has a safe trip, first of all. We certainly don't want his plane to be hijacked by terrorists or the New Zealand Defence Force, for that matter.
Don't worry, there's a big government cushion keeping us all safe at the moment.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel warm and fuzzy, Vinny, when we know that the government just sanitises the dangerous reality out there and all the big bad guys are kept away?
Oh, yeah.
Except for the bigger bad guys who you pay your taxes to. Don't talk about them, though. Don't talk about the real Giuseppe Mazzinis out there.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. It's just not on, really, is it?
I mean, you know, I hope he enjoys the Masonic Halls back on February the 8th and can talk about some of these issues within the confines of the checkered floors. And, yeah, I mean, maybe one day we'll have a population in New Zealand that really holds these guys to the wall and says, either you tell us straight up, where's the money going? Why are we paying a carbon tax? Why are we having fluoride and put into our skeletal systems? Frankly, rather than saying they've got to go or speak to my advisor or I'm in a hurry right now, I've got to go and have dinner at the Northern Club. I mean, how many excuses have you heard, Vinny?
I've lost count. You know, it's either you're at a climate change march talking about climate change and it's not the appropriate place for it. or send me a letter because I don't have enough time to talk about it. You know, and it's just this disparity between questions and answers. You can ask all the questions you want, but getting answers is like finding hen's teeth. You know, and that's what I really want. I don't necessarily want to be able to ask the questions so much as I do want to be able to hear the answers. And this is the difficulty when you're dealing with frauds and people in Parliament and all these other people who've got, well, basically they're held accountable to the words of their voice much more than any individual's opinion would be, for example. And so there's certain things that they cannot say. There's certain things that they cannot do because of their positions. This is why I choose to most of the time bring on activists onto this show, because they have... Well,
politicians should be able to speak his mind totally. That's what we elect them to do. That's what the liberty we grant them, because we do actually grant them freedoms. They are servants,
yeah.
Not the other way around.
And as soon as Honi Harawira says something bad about the Māori Party, oh, we've got to demonise them. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we will be right back momentarily.